सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति।
Chant the first five verses of chapter 2.
Sanjaya uvacha, tam tata kripaya vishtam, अश्रुपूर्णाकुलेक्षणम् विशीदन्तमिदं वाक्यम् उवाच मधुसूदनः संजय उवाच तं तथा कृपयाविष्टम् अश्रुपूर्णाकुलेक्षणम् विशीदन्तमिदं वाक्यम् उवाच मधुसूदनः। श्री भगवानुवाच कुतस्त्वाकश्मलमिदं विषमे समुपस्थितं अनार्यजुष्टमस्वर्ग्यम् अकीर्तिकरमर्जुन। श्रीभगवानुवाच कुतस्त्वाकश्मलमिदं विषमे समुपस्थितं अनार्यजुष्टमस्वर्ग्यम् अकीर्तिकरमर्जुन। क्लैभ्यं मास्मगमपार्थ नैतद्वैयुपपद्यते। क्षुद्रं हृदय दौर्बल्यं त्यक्त्वोत्तिष्ठ परन्तप। क्लैभ्यं मास्मगमपार्थ नैतद्वैयुपपद्यते। क्षुद्रं हृदय दौर्बल्यं त्यक्त्वोत्तिष्ठ परन्तप। अर्जुन उवाच कथं भीष्ममहं संख्ये द्रोणं च मधुसूदन। इषुभिप्रतियोत्स्यामि पूजार्हावरिसूदनम्। अर्जुन उवाच कथं भीष्ममहं संख्ये द्रोणं च सूदनम्। इषुभिप्रतियोत्स्यामि पूजार्हावरिसूदनम्। गुरुनहत्वाहि महानुभावान् श्रेयो भोक्तुं वैक्ष्यमपि लोके। हत्वार्थकामांस्तु गुरुनिहैव। भुञ्जीय भोगान् रुधिरप्रदिग्धान्। गुरुनहत्वाहि महानुभावान्। श्रेयो भोक्तुं वैक्ष्यमपीह लोके। हत्वार्थकामांस्तु गुरुनिहैव भुञ्जीय भोगान् रुधिरप्रदिग्धान्।
To him who was thus overcome with pity, whose eyes were filled with tears, who was agitated and despondent, Madhusudana spoke these words, says Sanjaya. In the entire first chapter, after exhausting whatever he had to say, Arjuna resorted to inactivity. He said, I will not fight. He sat down. So a person whose mind is completely closed and has resorted to inactivity, a friend like Krishna, who's got the solution but has not been asked for. So all that he can do is he can play the role of a friend perfectly, which is to whip up the person who has resorted to tamas, indolence. He feels what Arjuna is doing is not right in the context. Right? Yet he is not asking what is right. So he shows his disagreement and he clearly comes out and says, how can you, whence has this dejection come upon you in a crisis unworthy of an Arya? Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam Akirtikaram Arjuna. Very famous verses, the first two verses which Lord speaks in the second chapter, but this is not, he still not started the Gita, because Arjuna has not become the Sishya and he has not accepted Krishna as a Guru. Arjuna has so far only given his chariot in the hands of Krishna, not himself. So he is only Sarathi for that chariot. He is not yet Partha Sarathi. So he is asking Arjuna, when has this dejection come upon you? In such a crisis moment, in a situation where you need to be alert, you are resorting to inactivity. How have you fallen into such low thinking? It is anarya. It is not something that a straightforward person does. Upright man like you should not resort to something like that. This is not going to give you heaven. Ashwargyam akirtikalam. This is not going to help you gain something in future, nor is it going to gain happiness in the present. This is scribium, unmanliness, yield not to unmanliness. Scribium masmadama partha. Naitad vayu papatyate. You are resorting to unmanliness, O Partha, O Arjuna. If you had decided not to come to the battle, that would have been better. But having come, you are behaving like this. This doesn't befit you. It does not befit you. Casting off this mean weakness of the heart. So Krishna straight away comes to the point and says, the problem is within you. It is the mean weakness of the heart that you are suffering from. Earlier I pointed out to you in the first chapter when Arjuna said, although these people whose intelligence has been overpowered by greed do not see the right thing, which is to not to kill the relatives, we who are able to clearly see, why should we not go away from the battle? At that point I pointed out to you that Arjuna is able to see that Duryodhana's mind is overpowered by greed, his intelligence is overpowered by greed, but he is not able to see that his mind is overpowered by emotions, his intellect is overpowered by emotions. He is not able to see that. So here Krishna points out, you are suffering from the mean weakness of the heart. You need to throw away that. The problem is within you, not outside. Throwing away that, arise, O Parantapa. Wake up. I pointed out to you that time and again this word is used. Uttishta, Uttishta. Wake up, arise. Obviously Krishna is not talking to somebody who is sleeping. So what we need to understand is, Arjuna is not sleeping, but is sleepwalking. He is neither awake fully, nor is he asleep. So we keep on telling this point that we are actually represented by Arjuna. Arjuna is our representative. So we are also not sleeping. We are awake and living our life, but as though like a sleepwalker. We are functioning like sleepwalkers. We are not fully awakened. Our consciousness is not there totally. We are not functioning with total awareness. That's exactly the problem. So Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, this is not your behavior. Your behavior has always been straightforwardness. No, suddenly you are behaving like this. This is a little funny to me. I'm your friend. I know you very well. So now Arjuna starts speaking. Now he comes directly to the point. Let us read verse number 4.
అర్జున ఉవాచ కథం భీష్మమహం సంఖ్యే ద్రోణం చ మధుసూదన ఇషుభి ప్రతియోత్స్యామి పూజార్హావరిసూదన అర్జున ఉవాచ కథం భీష్మమహం సంఖ్యే ద్రోణం చ మధుసూదన ఇషుభి ప్రతియోత్స్యామి పూజార్హావరిసూదన.
అర్జున ఉవాచ, అర్జున సెడ్, after receiving the verbal blows from Krishna, Arjuna immediately starts speaking. He says, katam bhishma maham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana, O killer of demon Madhu, O Krishna, you have been only killing demons, uncultured people, devils, egoistic and uncultured people. But the problem that I am in now, the situation that I am in now, I am sure you will understand, that is, I have to fight with arrows against Bhishma and Drona in battle. How is it possible? Bhishma and Drona are cultured people. They are not egoistic people. They are cultured. They are supposed, they are elder to me. They are good people. In fact, what I am today, I owe a lot to them. So he says, O Madhusudana, how shall I fight with arrows against Bhishma and Drona in battle? They who are worthy of worship. So this is the problem that I am in. It is easy for you to say, cast away, cast off your mean weakness of the heart. This is the attachment I am suffering from. And don't you think this attachment is justified? If I am here standing in front of you as a warrior with some status, that is because of them. Bhishma and Drona, I owe everything to them. One is my own guru, one is my own great grandfather, he is also in a way guru to me. I have to kill them. It is easy for you, you have only killed enemies, Arisudana, evil people. These are not evil people. So the problem of samsara is actually threefold. All of us have what is called as likes and dislikes. We are all bundle of likes and dislikes. Each one of us have likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes per se, nothing wrong with them. There is nothing wrong with likes and dislikes per se. But when we become dependent on them, then the samsara starts. That is why in the Gita, when Lord starts speaking, he says, Tayoho Vashamna Agachit. Let it be there, but you don't become attached to them, dependent on them. We all become dependent on our likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like this. I may bring in some reasons justifying my likes and dislikes. Independent of that, we have not learned how to be free from the dictations of our likes and dislikes. So what happens? When we are attached to our likes and dislikes, we imagine situations that my like will not be fulfilled, may not be fulfilled. Then what happens? Grief comes. Or actually my like may not be fulfilled. World is made up of so many people, not just me. Everybody has their own likes and dislikes. Somebody has fixed his marriage on the seashore because that has been his dream. So he said, let us go to Goa and have the wedding. So he is praying that these 3 days, 4 days, when I am having these wedding celebrations, there should be no rain. Right? The farmers who have sown the seed, they are waiting for rain. Whose prayers, whose likes and dislikes, the totality is going to fulfill? So many a times, my likes and dislikes may not be fulfilled. All my likes may not be fulfilled. Isn't it? So I, from that raga attachment comes what is called as shoka, grief. And what does the grief do? Grief eats up my intellect, my thinking capacity. Whatever little that may be available, maybe with me, is also eaten up by the grief. So therefore what happens? I get deluded. Moha comes. So from our attachment to likes and dislikes, grief comes. From the grief comes delusion. And from the delusion comes wrong decisions. So we try to solve our problems by the external factors, by gaining some external factors, trying to win over the world, the worldly objects and beings. We think this will take care of my grief. If at all those things can take care, probably temporarily, not permanently. Like the painkillers. Painkillers take care of the pain temporarily. You need to go and find out what has caused the pain and remove it. So Arjuna also, out of his delusion, thinks that he can solve the situation externally by leaving the scenario and going to the forest. Why he says? Because these are all people who are worthy of worship.
But that's true.
Which is?
That's true. I mean, they were great personalities.
They may be great personalities. Independently, they may be great personalities, individually. But then, in the context here, you're not supposed to see their greatness. You're supposed to see what is your duty.
I don't understand why they were on the other side in the first place.
That is their decision. They had their own reason for it. They felt that they are obliged. For example, when Bhishma had taken the vow that I will never become the king, nor will I get married so that my children will come and claim the kingdom in future. I will always be somebody who will be a soldier and fight for this kingdom. When he had taken that vow, he didn't want to go against. Same way Drona had his own obligations. From their thinking, they came to the conclusion that even though we may personally not accept what Duryodhana has done, but we feel there is an obligation. That is from their level of thinking. Right. They are not personally on the side of Duryodhana.
They did it because it was their duty.
That's what they felt. Therefore they did that. You must respect their decision. They had no problem. Personally, they may want to solve this problem amicably and not go to war. But once the war has been declared, they felt that they should be on that side.
No, possibly, I think they felt that Arjun, being a good person that he was, he would not go to war.
Otherwise,
would have definitely gone to war if they were on the other side.
Nothing like that.
No, but then, as you said earlier, that destructive people, unconstructive people, are protected by, I mean, not destructive, while they are actually protecting the destructive person. I mean, they should have been actually protecting in all.
That's why I say, each one has a certain thinking.
No, but
even this is the kind of a deluded thinking on their part.
Listen, delusion completely will go when you have reached the highest. But from their standpoint, they had taken a decision that, for example, I am a soldier of a country. My country has decided that we should, like for example, sometimes what happens, the power centers give instructions that you must go and do lati charge. Okay. Now he, as a policeman, he just goes and does it. So that was their thinking. We are not here. Whenever our suggestions were asked, we had given. But once the decision has been made, it is our duty to obey the order of the king. From that angle, they have come to the battlefield. So here, Arjuna.
They are quiet and a lot of major things that went.
They might have had their faults. They might have had their faults. That's a different thing. But he is just expressing his emotions and feelings for his guru and great grandfather and many others personally. In fact, as I said, Arjuna's direct problem was that Bhishma and Drona is on the other side.
You know, I understand. Like, I'm still very torn about. I still don't know the understanding to agree with this. Like, I actually do agree with Arjuna that at the end of the day, it is still your grandfather, it is still your teacher. They are doing their dharma. They are doing what is right in their judgment. It doesn't make them enemies as people. It makes them enemies as part of a kingdom, you know. But in their own regard, they are following their dharma.
True. So what is your question?
My question is, like, I still don't feel comfortable
killing them.
Yeah. So that's what.
No. One minute.
Sir,
you have answered your own question. You have answered your own question.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, you follow your own words carefully. What did you say? You said they are following their dharma. Then Arjuna should follow them as example and follow his dharma. No. Should he not follow his dharma for taking them as an example? This is precisely why Lord Krishna took the chariot and placed it right in front of them and told them, behold the age-old Kuru assembled. Right? What is he trying to say? See, they have come to the battlefield. You have now shown the desire to instead to all of them to fight. So I brought the chariot and placed it right in front of Bhishma and Drona, in between both the armies, for you to know that you must take them as an inspiration and follow their footsteps, which is to do your dharam. Your dharam there is what? To protect righteousness. You have been waiting for 13 long years to get back what belongs to you rightfully, and you followed the dharma, sam, dhan, ved and everything. Having tried all that, now the last thing that is left with you is to fight. You did not impose the war, it was imposed on you. Now as a kshatriya, your dharma here is to fight without seeing who is there.
So Arjun dharma as a kshatriya superseded his dharam as a son.
Yes. On the battlefield, it's a different kind of a dharam that you are. Like, see, a judge, when he goes to the court, he's not supposed to see whether it is his guru who is standing there or his own brother who is standing there. He's supposed to rise above all the personal relationships. Right?
So the judge is not fighting them.
No, it's a different. You must understand. It's not the question of fighting. What you need to understand is an ability. Who is a mature person? A mature person is one who may have his likes and dislikes, but never comes under his personal likes and dislikes sway of their own personal life. So once you are here, you are supposed to do what you ought to do. An inspector of police, when he comes to know that it is his own son who is a criminal, you will see a lot of movies also like this, where the, for example, that famous movie which came in Hindi, the brother had to shoot his own brother because he found that brother happened to be a criminal. All these things, what they are trying to show is, what is your duty in the context? You must rise above your personal feelings and deliver. That's not easy, but that's what you're supposed to do.
But he also has a dharma as a family.
What is that?
He has a code of conduct as a son and as a family man also.
Yes, he did that. He has always been doing his duty towards whoever it was, like whether it was Drona or Bhishma or anybody. He had never gone against it. Where has he gone against it? You tell me. Never. So when it comes, you are a soldier. Your parents may say, now that there is a war, don't go. You are a dutiful son. You've done everything to them. And they're telling you, don't go to the battle. No. You must say, no, you may be my father, you may be my mother. I have done whatever my duty to you. I've never, to my best of my conscience, I've done what I have to do. But now, the country is calling me as a soldier. It's my duty to go and fight. And you may say, don't do it. I'm not going to listen to you. At that time, when you don't listen to them and go to the battlefield, doesn't mean that you've not done what your duty is. Right? So, he says they are worthy of worship. That much is right. Nobody is saying they are not worthy of worship. They have done a lot to you. You may be individually good people. But what in the context is, you are not supposed to see who all are there. You are just supposed to see, what am I supposed to do now? That's the dharam there. So, at least now, what we must realize is, Arjuna straight away put the point. That is, actually my problem is Bhishma and Drona. Because earlier you said, how can I kill them, this, that? Yes, all those people, that emotion is there. But this is a very, very strong thing for me. It's not easy. So therefore, he says, I'm confused. What is my duty? Is it my... In fact, just like how you are all asking, all of us, when it comes to us, we will also have the same kind of problem. What is my dharma? The decision making, you need to have a strong intellect. And you should have made yourself free from the clutches of your own likes and dislikes. That is the real strength. The real strength in a human being is what? What is liberation? Huh? What is true liberation? We keep saying moksha, moksha. A lot of people say, I'm not interested in moksha. What is this moksha? I don't know what is moksha. In fact, one fellow asked me. In fact, he asked me when I had gone for a wedding. I had gone to attend somebody's wedding, so he's asking me, you know, when the preparations are going on, everything is going on, we are all sitting there. So he's asking me, because you happen to teach Vedanta, I want you to answer this question, he's saying. He's saying, I'm not interested in liberation. I love to be born again and again. Why should I attain moksha and not to be born? What is wrong in this world? Like that he went on. So firstly I asked him, what is your concept of moksha? I don't know. What do you understand as moksha? Moksha simply means a matured state where you are able to act completely free from your likes and dislikes. Firstly, you understand this much about moksha. Let's not get into the deeper meanings of moksha. Right? Today, I have likes and dislikes. Nothing wrong with your likes and dislikes. But to come under the clutches of my likes and dislikes and function is not functioning as a mature individual. It's functioning like somebody who is a kid. This is the problem. Dharam is dynamic, it's not static.
It's not static, it changes.
Absolutely.
Samay, kal.
Absolutely.
Parivartan hota rehta hai. Yes. Your own swadharam, that is your dharam to your family, that is your dharam to your nation. So, you have to give your dharam in context to what position you are put in at that particular time.
That's why we say in the class, dharam is not static. Mm-hmm. It's dynamic.
Because actually, Arjuna is putting his swadharam before the dharam for the nation. Maybe that is a conflict, it's not
No, no, the word Swadharam is used.
Swadharam means like his
personal.
Swadharam is also dharma
for Kshatriya. Okay, in short, what you are saying is he is putting his
personal things
attachments
above
what he needs to do. Yes, agree. So the point is.
Pardon? Fight is also for his personal right. I mean, he's not fighting for somebody else's right. He's fighting for his own land. So he's fighting for his own.
Somebody is coming to kill you.
No.
1 minute. Answer the question. Somebody is coming to kill you.
Yeah.
Right? So you are saying, is he not trying to defend and try to live? Why not he dies? Why not he die?
No.
Exactly
I'm
like
that. He's
exactly
fighting.
Like
I'm
that. Whatever. No. Please listen to me. Please listen. I understood the question. He has a certain belonging which is his own. He is not swindling somebody else's property. Right? To defend your property is your dharma. Somebody is coming and taking it away. Now, if you have gone to the level of a sannyasi, where you are not seeing it that way, then it's a different matter. Arjuna has not risen to that height. I told you before in the class, if you see all the classes, then you will understand the whole thing. We had mentioned that Arjuna has not reached the state of Buddha. He has not become a sannyasi. He is a grahastha. Being a grahastha, it is the duty for him to protect the righteousness there. That there his mind is very much attached to what he rightfully belongs to him. 13 long years he was there. For 12 years in the forest, 13th year in exile. And all along he was not able to free himself from that. So therefore, he has come to protect what belongs to them, righteously. There's nothing wrong in that. In short, what I'm trying to tell you is, it amounts to saying like this, okay, somebody wants to take away your life, you die. You know? Therefore, it amounts to that. It's not like that. You have to protect yourself and you have to make sure that you ultimately go and reach that inner self. Not to You should not go and kill somebody else. At the same time, need not allow somebody else to kill you.
I think also the point is that they are siding with the wrong side, so they are in a way wrong also. So he is fighting a general wrong.
Maybe they are wrong, maybe they are not wrong. That is not the point here. The point here is, what is my duty? See, somebody on the other side may be right, may be wrong. That is for them to face. Right? If Bhishma was wrong, if Drona was wrong, if all these people were wrong, it is for them to face.
No, but isn't
all I can do is, in the context, what is that I am supposed to do, I do that.
No, but isn't for our normal problem is, we feel we are right in whatever we are fighting. But when we see our learned or our respected on the other side, then we get confused. If they are on the other side, then am I right or am I wrong? The question comes into our mind. Because those people we respected, we even now respect for whatever reason, look up to whatever. And then they are on the other side. So obviously you assume because it comes down to your likes and dislikes, because you like them, because you respect them, you think their thought process is correct. So if their thought process is correct, then how are they on the other side? I mean, shouldn't they be with you?
No, so therefore, what's the question?
My question is, then don't you get more confused?
Yes,
that
you can
if
get
they
confused.
Against you
no.
And not
you
with
can,
you,
you can
so my, am I correct in my thinking?
No, 1 minute. Why do you think that just because somebody is elder to you, that they will have to always make right decisions? Isn't that wrong? No, 1 minute. Please listen to me. Isn't there an assumption in what you are saying? So that we can go on talking like this. You can say some point, I can say some point. The point is here, yes, confusion can come. So what is that I have to do? I have to now think and make a decision. I don't decide while I am in the battlefield. All this, what you are talking about, Bhishma and Drona, that they are supporting Duryodhan, is not something that Arjuna came to know only after he came to the battlefield. He knew about it much before. So what he should have done? You should have thought about it. I even quoted Tirukural once, I think in this class only. Enni tuniga karumam, tunindapin ennumam enbadhi irukku. Think and then get into action. Don't get into action and then think. Like all of us do after marriage. You should have done it before. Right? You should have thought about it. Whether it is something that is a must for me. Just because my grandfather married, and my father married, my uncle married, my brothers married. Should I have to go through that? I never thought about it. Now I'm thinking, Arey Baba, what is happening? After I've got 3-4 children. Is that what you are saying? So in other words, okay, this is what you are, in other words, what they are saying is, see, I respect my grandfather, my uncle, my father, everybody, and I see all these people got married. Therefore, I feel right thing to do is get married. So isn't it right? How can it become right? Okay. Firstly, not necessary, just because they are elders, they should have taken the right decision. Secondly, the decision that they took might be right for them, need not necessarily be right for me. Okay? So therefore, you should think, that is what Krishna said, your behavior is very funny, he says. You should have thought about it, and need not, you could have said, okay, I'm not coming to the battlefield. The Karna took a stance. Till Bhishma is there, I am not coming to the battlefield. Right, wrong, that's different. But he took a stance. Right? He did not come. So you take a stance. Karna took a stance. I may be the eldest of Pandavas. When his birth secret was revealed. Yes, thank you very much. At least now I know that I am not a Sutaputra. I am a Kshatriya. But then, I am happy to be fighting on the side of Duryodhana. I have taken a stance. And I took another stance that I am not coming to the battlefield till Bhishma is there. We are not getting into the merits of it. Similarly, Arjuna should have thought about it and said, oh, I feel these people are there. That's fine. How you come now? This is so funny. Right? Even now, it's not too late. Now he should realize that he is suffering from this confusion. Like I said before, the problem is, many of us not only suffer from ignorance, we don't realize that we are ignorant. We think we know the solution. That is the problem. But from there, I must come into a situation where I realize my helplessness. I must understand I am helpless now. On one side, it is my gurus. On the other side, it's my duty. I'm helpless. And I must realize that I am caught up in this situation of helplessness. Unless that happens, there is no remedy for it. Right? So, therefore from his side, he is putting the logic. They are worthy of worship. How can I take up weapons against them? I should be offering flowers at their feet. And my love should be given to them, showered to them, rather than my knife, my sword, my weapons should deal with them. Right? So this is my problem, he said. And he continues. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan. Shreyo bhoktum vaikshyamapi haloke. Shreyo bhoktum vaikshyamapi haloke. Hatvartha kamanstu guru nihaiva. Hatvartha kamanstu guru nihaiva. Bunjiya bhogan rudira pradigdan. Bunjiya bhogan rudira pradigdan. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan. Shreyo bhoktum vaikshyamapi haloke. Hatvartha kamanstu guru nihaiva. Bunjiya bhogan rudira pradigdan. Better indeed is to live on alms in this world than to slay the most noble teachers. But by slaying them all, my enjoyments of wealth and desires, even here, will be stained with blood. You say, what are my options? What are my choices left here in the context? One is to kill them. If I kill them, what will I get? Kingdom, enjoyments, pleasures. But all that will be stained with their blood, which means with the thought of their death. The thought of the fact that I have killed it. How can I be free from that thought? I will not be. I will be constantly suffering from that guilt conscience. So this is one option. The other thing is, if I say I am not fighting, Duryodhana is not going to say, okay, chalo Arjuna, you had decided not to fight because you didn't want to kill so many people and you are such a good person. So no problem, I will give you one separate palace, you can sit and meditate there. Duryodhana is not going to say that. Duryodhana is obviously going to drive him away to the forest. He had already lived in forest for 12 years. In spite of it, he had not developed a desire to stay with bare minimum and continue the life pursuing something deeper in life. That's not his nature. He's not yet gone to that level. He's still not escalated himself to the level of a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. He's still at the level of a grahastha as a kshatriya. Right? So he's still very much there. So the other option I have, what is that? I have to go to the forest. And if I go to the forest, I have to live begging on alms. Bhikshyam. Bhikshyam means alms. Now, bhiksha, begging, living on others' contribution, is only allowed for a brahmachari or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi, never to a grahastha. Now listening to this, you may say, then I immediately become a vanaprastha now or a grahastha now, or a sannyasi now. It's not possible, because these are at the mental level. You may physically take a vanaprastha and sannyas, or you may not. But when you say vanaprastha or a sannyasi, mentally what should be there? You should not be thinking of anything of the world. Physically you can take a paka robe, but it is so difficult, isn't it? Just because you go and hide in a temple, does your sensual thoughts leave you? Many times you may get a sensual thought or thoughts in the temple. Mind doesn't leave you, right? So why is it allowed for a brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi? Anybody? And not to a grahastha. Why?
Because
then how come it's allowed for a brahmachari?
Meditation or
even
like he's not part of the world, so
it
doesn't mean he's not allowed to work.
Brahmachari is not part of the world.
He's not part of the world he's living, he's not part of the of enjoying the senses in a way per se. Even if he does, that attachment is not there. He's free of his attachment and he is not working to make a living for himself materially.
Think about this, because according to me this is very important. There are four ashrama dharmas, as we know: brahmacharya, student life; grahastha, the married person; and then vanaprastha, he's still in marriage but his mind has slowly moved towards the higher aspects of life; sannyasi, who has moved away.
You accept whatever you get.
Huh?
You accept whatever you get because you're not craving for anything. So is that my picture, that whatever anyone gives?
From the time we are born till we die, we are constantly being provided by that unknown providence. Oxygen, water, gravitational force, temperature maintained in your body, the coordinations between your parts of the body, and go on and on. Right? There are millions and millions of things that are being provided to us from the time we are born. So the only duty we have in life is to do whatever we are made up of, whatever is my nature, so dharma, oblate it as a, give it back to the society as an offering, and leave what comes as a prasad from such an action. Live within what you get in return as prasad. You take, for example, a coconut tree. Coconut tree, when it is planted, the coconut seed, when it is planted, first, I don't know, 3 years or 5 years, it's all that it's doing is what? Constantly taking. Taking the sunlight, nourishes it, its roots, water, everything, right? Continuously takes and takes and takes. And nourishes itself. That is the stage of a brahmachari. You are taking from the society. Education, bill is paid by your parents. The society is paying their taxes because of which the road is laid, because of which the school gets some funds, etc. Okay? So you are like that coconut sapling which is constantly taking. That is the sapling life, that is brahmacharya. But what does the coconut tree do? After taking and strengthening itself for 5 years or so, after that, till death, it constantly gives and gives and gives. Gives coconut, gives shelter. Constantly gives and gives. So, the secret of life is, or the goal of life is happiness. And that goal of life, which is happiness, can only be achieved when I have my life as a life based on contribution, not on receipts. Okay. So the purpose of life is to be happy, and that happiness comes only by giving, not by taking. So brahmachari is also preparing to contribute. Brahmacharya life is a preparation for contribution. Till the age of 21, if you are doing graduation, or post-graduation, 23, 24, you do PhD, then 27, 30, whatever. Till that time, what are you doing? You are constantly taking. Then, it's time for you to pay back. Right. Strictly speaking, we cannot pay back to everything that we have received. It's impossible. What we have received from our parents, can we truly speaking payback completely? Impossible. What we have taken from the country or anybody for that matter, we cannot pay back completely. But in attitude, we can. So a grahastha lifestyle is a lifestyle where you contribute, actual contribution. Brahmacharya is preparation to contribute. Grahastha lifestyle is actual contribution. And while contributing, your mind should become free from the worldly entanglements till such time you continue contributing, and thereafter now you have to move towards your inner happiness, which is the ultimate goal, the self. When you do that, when you slowly your mind rises above, you've done your duty, you have delegated everything, then you keep the barest minimum and start focusing towards the self. There it may be zero contribution or little contribution. Like for example, when people had worked in an organization, government officers, they would have worked for probably 30 years, 35 years, I don't know how many years they work. After that, what does the government do?
Pension.
Gives them
pension.
Even if you go to countries like US, they have what is called a social security. That is coming from people who are contributing now, but two people who had already contributed. So much. So one is preparation for contribution, other one is life after contribution. If they had continued to work, their salary would have been, I don't know what it is, but their pension may not be that much. But they should have risen above in such a way that that minimum what they get, with that they should be able to live. Agree with me? So now Arjuna, having got the interest in the kingdom, which is his, not somebody else's, as you said, I think that's exactly your problem. If it's mine, can I defend? Which you asked before also, you should defend. The very fact that can I defend means your mind is still there. Otherwise you won't be sitting and asking here. You would already be in Himalayas meditating. It won't even bother you. The fact that it is bothering you, you are very much there in the grahastha level. Their picture is not allowed for you. You must stand up and fight. Right? So he is saying, I have to live on alms. And I feel it's better. It's wrong. It's not better for it's not good at all. It's not shreya for a grahastha, a kshatriya. He is not a brahmacharya, brahmachari. When you go to the ashram, students who study in the ashram, they are supposed to just focus and study, gain the knowledge, do whatever sadhana that is supposed to be done by them. Therefore, the government has recognized the trust under certain clauses, whatever it might be, and they've allowed them to receive the donations. What is donation? Donation is given by somebody. So the brahmacharis in the ashram live on alms. But that is for them to strengthen themselves and then come back. And if they continue to, and then later on if they live the life of a grahastha, that is for them to earn their living. Contributing. Right? So Arjuna says, it looks like to me it is better to live on alms in this world than to slay the most noble teachers. I can't think of receiving without contributing. Let me tell you, if we can really master this value, if we can incorporate this value in our life, there cannot be any disturbance in our life anymore. I will not touch something that I don't deserve. Something that I have not contributed for. Will not be tempted for things that come free. In fact, if you hear this word free, you should get agitated. You understand? If you buy one bucket, one mug is free. You understand? Etc. Should agitate you rather. But then the problem is, when the society is deteriorating in values, when we say deteriorating in values means when the roots are weak, then these sort of temptations they fall for. He's going to discuss this in detail in the third chapter, Krishna. So here Arjuna is saying, better indeed is to live on alms in this world than to slay the most noble teachers. But by slaying them all, my enjoyments of wealth, and desires even here will be stained with blood. He is not yet recognized that I am helpless. He is only rising his options. He is only bringing forth his options lift. And of these two options, it's better for me to live on alms. If it was better for him to live on alms, why did he come back and ask for the kingdom? Okay, he asked for the kingdom. At least he didn't recognize that Duryodhana will not keep up his promise. So therefore he came and asked for the kingdom. But when he said no, and what was the only option? If he had recognized that better to stay in the forest, he would have walked away. It is not better for him. He knows that. He is just saying it externally. A lot of people, better that I keep quiet. They will not be able to keep quiet. They will be so agitated, they want to say something, but it's better for me to keep quiet. And they will be going and talking in the bathroom, looking at the mirror, which is worse. You understand? See, the thing is, you must go inside and find out what is that cause, what is the cause, and remove that. Instead of that, if you just leave the scene and go to forest, you don't become wise by that. If that was simple as that, many problems could be solved by leaving the scene. Huh? Anger, for example. If I go there, I get agitated. I get angry. Where? To work. Because I have to face my boss. Therefore, what do? I don't go to work. Is that a solution? Better it is for me to stay at home only. This is like, it's like that Arjuna is talking here. What do you have to do? You have to find out what is the cause for the anger. Whether it is really the boss, or is it something within me? And when you go deeply and search for the cause, you will find out it is something that is within me. And when you actually remove that cause, thereafter you are very comfortable sitting and having breakfast, lunch, dinner, everything with your boss. No problem. So the problem that Arjuna is facing is he is not able to come to terms with his own inner personality. This is the problem that many of us face, or all of us face. He has the problem. He thinks it's outside. He thinks it's the war. It's not the war. It's not the forest. It is his mind.
Isn't it also that in our lives, we always face with whatever your weak point is, whatever you have not come to terms with. The situation in front of you will always come so that you have to face that. Until you face that and outgrow that problem will keep coming, whether you go, as you said, either it's office or boss or somebody, whoever. I mean, till you overcome your own problem or your weakness, till then that problem will keep coming in front of you in different ways.
That you see
till you grow out.
Absolutely.
Is it really to strengthen yourself?
To
One way is that you see the same problem start coming, you know, that you having to face the same problem until you have to deal with it. Or the other way to look at it is that you see that same problem manifest itself in everything that goes wrong.
Because
Guru is saying that when you are faced with a certain kind of problem over and over again until you learn to deal with it. And my take on it is, I agree with her, but just flip it a little bit. Because of our own weaknesses, we tend to see manifestations of the same goodness in
It's both. It's both according to me.
In other situations also, it doesn't have to be. Because the other things in the situation don't bother you.
She's talking about whatever is bothering her. She's constantly coming in front of such problems again and again. See, the problem is whenever whatever we resist will persist. Okay. And if till you are able to rise above that. That's why, like I said, growth is the another secret of life. Right? You have to grow. If I see you today as a 5-year-old boy, I meet you after seven years, you should be like a 12-year-old boy. Then I'm happy. I'm talking about even physical growth. Supposing you 7 years has passed, but you are still at the same height as a 5-year-old boy, then it leaves me worried. Are you with me? So growth has to be there. Till that time, the situations will come. Guru will also put you in that situation to make sure that you become strong. You're not perturbed.
It could be a weakness like anger, it could be a fear of something.
Anything.
Fear of darkness, fear of a certain person. So if you have that within you, the situations keep coming.
But that's also because we've asked for
it. But then
you want to grow out of it and you want to grow
such. You have to get out of it through gaining knowledge, awareness. That is only possible by going within you. For example, take the example of anger. One is you shout at the person, you vent out your anger. Other is you suppress it. Psychologists say, as a temporary method, better to shout than to suppress. But this is very important, as a temporary method. Okay, other method suggested is go and bash the pillow, imagining that fellow, imagining your boss, your husband, your wife, whatever. I'm not saying this, psychologists are saying. Okay, bash the pillows. I'm told in a big corporate, they have a huge room set up, you know, where they have a lot of glasses and all that. So when people get frustrated or angry, you just go and break the glasses and all that stuff. It's allowed, it seems. I don't know. See, in the sense, it gives you a temporary feeling because it has been released. Whatever has surfaced has been released. That's what we need to understand. But deep inside, there is a lot more frustrations hiding. That has not been released. Okay. The other thing, what we may do is suppress. That will also not help. In fact, that is even more dangerous. Suppressions are nothing but pushing it deep into your subconscious. Right? That is very dangerous. So what is the solution? The solution is gaining the awareness. Building your awareness. Becoming alive. And what will make you become alive? That's where we say yoga, pranayama, knowledge, bhakti practices, meditation, and all these things as a sadhana. When you do, your awareness increases. And for that, first you must realize that I have problem within me. Anger is within me. Right? That person happened to be somebody who made it surface. It's like there's a seed inside the earth, deep inside the earth. When it rains, it sprouts. Rain came and it sprouted. Rain was conducive for the seed to sprout. Are you with me? Exactly like that, I had the anger already. The seed was there inside me. The seed is inside me. That fellow came, it came out. So I think he brings it. He is not brought it. In fact, I should be grateful to that fellow. So from today onwards, you should be worshipping whomever you are angry with. Really? is such a skillful person that just he has to appear in front of me, my anger comes. Right? Therefore, it's within me. What is within me has to be removed by gaining awareness. You cannot consciously get angry. You cannot consciously overeat. Can you? Impossible. Think about all these things. All the nonsense that we do when we are unconscious. A fellow takes up a cigarette. He is smoking like this, as if, you know, because they say flight is going to leave. The last call. He quickly goes into the room where he can smoke. And then, he's not at all conscious, right? If you consciously go through an experience, it's impossible that you will set fire to yourself. So, to build that consciousness, awareness, whatever you have to do, you have to do. That is this entire sadhana. Okay. You have to use your body into the sadhana, which is the Hatha Yoga, Pranayama and Karma Yoga. You have to use your mind into the sadhana, which is the Upasana, Bhakti Yoga. You have to use your intellect into the sadhana, which is gaining the knowledge, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. And you have to become more objective, become a witness using the technique of meditation. Thus you will slowly overcome your anger and all the weaknesses. That is what this chapter is called, Sankhya Yoga. Gaining the knowledge. Ultimately in all these sadhanas that I mentioned, what is important is knowledge of the self, which is the awareness. Anyway, we will see all those things in detail. But then, here Arjuna is presenting the options that is left with him. He says, Krishna, I don't think so anybody should be trapped like me. I'm trapped between the devil and the deep sea. I'm not comfortable, strictly speaking, killing Bhishma and Drona. Nor am I comfortable being without my air conditioner, my car, my club. You understand? I need all those things also. And this is what happens to many of us, right? Sir, can we have class instead of 10:30 at 11 so that I don't have to miss my club also? You understand? Many times, I want this also, I want that also. But we are caught up in situations where you have to give one for the other, give away one for the other. That's when the problem comes. Here Arjuna wants the kingdom, pleasure, enjoyments, everything, but he wants Bhishma, Drona also to be sitting with him while he is enjoying it. Then he would have been very happy. But that's not the situation. So I must learn to accept the situation that confronts me rather than run away from it. Because wherever I run, I'll be confronted with such situations only. So I am caught in between devil and deep sea, he say. But of these two, it looks to me, it is better to live on alms. But if he lives on alms, he would be committing sin. What is the sin? Omission and commission.
Omission?
Commission. You will have to pay the price if you do what you ought not to do. If you don't do what you ought not to do. Correct? As a grihastha, as a kshatriya, it is something that he ought not to do. Which one? To beg. To be beg means to be dependent on the society. He ठीक है. सो इट इज नॉट हिज धर्म, सो ही विल बी गोइंग अगेंस्ट द धर्म. ही विल बी डूइंग वॉट ही ऑट नॉट टू डू. If he is not doing that, then what he will be doing? Paradharma. He will be doing what he ought not to do, and he will not be doing what he ought to do. What he ought to do is what? Which is? Fight. So he will be avoiding his dharma, which is to fight the battle, protect the righteousness. And not only that, secondly, he will be doing what he ought not to do. Earlier Arjuna said, sin alone will accrue if we destroy the sons of Dhritarashtra, the desperados. Isn't it? That was his understanding of sin. What will bring you sin? When you do something what you ought not to do, or don't do something what you ought to do. And here Arjuna was going to do both. This is what happens in delusion. When a person is caught up in likes and dislikes and gets caught in sorrow and gets deluded, out of delusion he does both. He does what he ought not to do and does not do what he ought to do. And here remember, a man of delusion speaking, man overpowered by delusion speaking. So we'll do just one more verse.
Na chaitad vidma katarano gariyo, na chaitad vidma katarano gariyo, यद्वा जयेम यदि वा नो जयेयुः, यद्वा जयेम यदि वा नो जयेयुः, यानेव हत्वा न जिजीविषामः, यानेव हत्वा जिजीविषामः, स्तेव स्थिता प्रमुखे धातराष्ट्राः, स्तेव स्थिता प्रमुखे धातराष्ट्राः, न चैतद्विद्म कतरन्नो घरीयो, यद्वा जयेम यदि वा नो जयेयुः, यानेव हत्वा न जिजीविषामः, स्तेव स्थिता प्रमुखे धार्तराष्ट्राः.
Just in the previous verse he said, better it is for us to live on alms. Now immediately he is saying, nor do we know which is better for us. Now this is the Arjuna that Krishna is waiting for. I would like to remind you of the quote given by Josh Billings here. Josh Billings says, the trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but their knowing. He puts the knowing within inverted commas. But their knowing so many things which ain't so. The trouble with most folks is not their ignorance, but their knowing within inverted commas. But their knowing so many things which ain't so. So till now Arjuna did not realize that he is caught in helplessness. Now after Krishna had whipped him and is blurt out the reason, that is Bhishma and Drona, and he started weighing the options, now he realizes, I am trapped, helpless. So he says, nor do we know which is better for us. The only problem is, he's included Krishna also here. Instead of saying, nor do I know. Many times we feel ashamed to say that I don't know. So we all feel. It's very interesting psychology. When I'm not deeply convinced that what I'm doing is right, then I look for 2-3 people to support me. Isn't it? He knows deep inside that what is going, what is doing is wrong. So he says, now do we know which is better for us? Ego is still there. That we should conquer them or they should conquer us. The very sons of Dhritarashtra, whom having slain we do not wish to live, stand facing us. Which is better? Is it to get married or to stay single? Is it to work in an organization or to start a business? These sort of confusions. Neither here nor there. Is there any other option that I have? I can't see. These are the only options left with me. So he says, nor do we know which is better for us. That's why I said in one of my previous classes, confusion is better. Earlier, he was very sure. But surety, having ignorance as a base, compared to that, confusion is better. Many people say ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. You cannot, nothing wrong in ignorance, but to continue to be in ignorance. Nothing wrong in being a child, and nothing wrong in child playing with toys. But you continue to be a child and continue to play with toys, then you need treatment, isn't it? So you must come from the state of ignorance to state of confusion. From the state of I know to I don't know to I know that what I know is the size of a handful of mud compared to what I do not know, which is the size of the earth, universe. So here confusion is happening in Arjuna's mind. So he openly says, nor do we know which is better for us. Fifth verse he says, better. A sort of certainty. Now, confusion is there. This is what Krishna has been waiting for. We all have also been waiting for. Supposing he has not said this now, in the 20th chapter, then you say, Baba, how long are we going to wait to start the Gita? The confusion now has come in Arjuna. Means what? He is slowly recognizing that he is ignorant, his incapacity. In this verse, he is still not admitted and become a Sishya. He becomes a Sishya in the next verse. In this verse, he is slowly trying to express, nor do we know which is better for us. There he says that we should conquer them or they should conquer us. Kshatriya nature is still there, no? Conquering. Neither should we conquer them, nor should we allow them to conquer us. We should conquer ourselves first. Remember this.
Amtu man ki shakti dena man vijay kare dusron ki jay se pehle khud ko jay kare.
That is what is Bhagavad Gita all about. Bhagavad Gita is not teaching us to conquer anybody. Here Arjuna is saying, I do not know whether, he is not saying I, he is saying we. Saying we do not know whether we should allow them to conquer us or we should conquer. All this confusion is coming because you have not conquered yourself. You have allowed the emotions to conquer you. A leader should be somebody who first knows how to lead himself. A manager should be somebody who knows how to manage himself. If not, what sort of a leader or manager he or she could be? Here Arjuna has come to the battlefield without having conquered his self. Like many of us are like that. We are all in different levels in the organization. Positions, CEO. So what will the study of Gita enable me to? It will enable me to become a CEO of my own life. You understand? So that's what it is. The very sons of Dhritarashtra, my own cousins, whom having slain, we do not wish to live. I don't see there is any point in living thereafter. I'm confused. We will see Arjuna Sharanagati next week. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadharya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.